A lesson tonight is out of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, walking worthy of our calling by relating properly to the Holy Spirit. Having written extensively in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 3, verse 21 about the high calling that we believers in Christ have in our Lord, clarifying the great extent to which God's grace in Christ has been administered in our behalf, Paul applied that truth to the Christian walk in Ephesians chapters 4, verse 1 to chapter 6, verse 20. In Ephesians 5, 18 to 21, in that section, Paul addressed a fifth realm of walking worthy of our calling, that of relating well to the Holy Spirit. This subject is very important in our era, due to extensive problems that have been fueled by economic and social upheaval with COVID-19. So we view the passage for our insight and edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into his word. Father, we thank you this morning, this evening, for your love for us in sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, rising again, and then when we put our faith in Christ, we're saved. But beyond that, you actually cause us to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, who is our paraclete, the one who runs alongside to help us. And boy, do we need the help of God, the Holy Spirit, today. And unfortunately, many Christians are not relying on the power of the Spirit of God. And so when something, especially as critical as COVID-19 comes along, they're upset. Distraught, full of fear and anxiety. We ask, Father, that as we get into this passage, we would see the solution to that in the proper relationship with the Holy Spirit, that we might be edified and grow in our relationship with God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear or in the reverence of God. Paul's command not to be drunk with wine in Ephesians 5:18a called for believers to stop practicing substance abuse, what often occurs in one's effort to escape an unhappy circumstance in life. Incidentally, I've read several articles recently about how the use of alcoholic beverages has gone up significantly during this pandemic. A lot of more people are drinking at home, or they're trying to escape the pain and the fear they have, some by drinking, some are heavily using marijuana or other drugs because they're trying to escape the unhappy circumstances in life. Well, the word drunk is methuskestha. That's the present tense imperative form of the verb methusko, to get drunk. And the word not translates the negative particle may. So Paul was grammatically urging believers to stop getting themselves drunk with wine. They probably had a problem. So the present tense always means stop. The present tense with a negative adverb always means stop a process that is constantly going on. If it were in the aorist tense, it would be don't start. But this is stop, something that is going on. So such drunkenness was asotia, the Greek says. It's the word debauchery, dissipation, profligacy. That means it leaves one unable to manage his behavior. It's a waste of effort, it's a waste of time, and it's a waste of money. I'll never forget one time I was working in a job, and nearby was a AAA meeting, AA meeting, AA meeting, and there was a class that was going on, and the window happened to be open. I happened to listen to what the instructor was saying, and the class was full of people who were there. And the instructor was saying, all that getting drunk does, or all that getting high on drugs does, is cause you to delay having to face your problem. The problem is, when you get off of that, first of all, you've got the problem that you faced that you tried to get away from. On top of that, you got a hangover, or you have an addiction. So this doesn't solve anything. And he's trying to teach the people how getting involved in being controlled by substance abuse is actually a worse problem than the problem that you're actually trying to escape. And that's essentially what Paul says. It's asoteia. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of effort, a waste of money. It's debauchery, dissipation, profligacy. Obviously, then as now, people resort to such an aberrant mental state not because it actually improves their circumstances, but simply to escape from the unhappiness of the reality that they face in life. Now, in striking contrast to getting oneself drunk to escape a negative or a painful reality, Paul commanded believers to be filled with the Spirit. And we need to explain this. The word be filled translates the Greek word plerousta, which is the present passive imperative form of plerao, or to make full or to fill. In other words, allow yourself passively to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul was urging believers to permit themselves to be constantly, notice it's the present tense, constantly be filled in the sense of controlled by the Spirit's work, in contrast to being controlled by wine. You'll notice that the Bible tells us that when we're saved, we're actually sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself becomes a seal. So the being filled with the Spirit doesn't mean that we get more of the Holy Spirit. We have all of the Holy Spirit that we'll ever have starting at the point of salvation. The question is, does the Holy Spirit have all of us? In other words, are we yielding to his control? The word fill here was not given. Paul didn't write this word in order to say to get more of the Spirit. He's contrasting it with being filled with wine. Instead of being filled with wine that controls you, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So we can actually say the word controlled, because that's really what Paul meant by filled here. This state is produced by faith, where a believer relies on the Holy Spirit to control his attitude and behavior as an ongoing activity. Now, there has to be a way of life in which a Christian, moment by moment, is relying on the Holy Spirit's power so that he can do his job. I do this as a pastor when I'm teaching, like I'm teaching right now or I'm preaching. There are many times I've actually gotten up to teach or preach, and from the human perspective, because of events that have occurred either that week or the day or who knows, I get up there and wondering, how in the world can I even go through with this job? But in faith, I rely on the Spirit of God and start to speak. And as I start to do that, then the Holy Spirit provides the motivation and the power and the insight. And sometimes he'll flood my mind with all sorts of new ideas that come in. And boom, I can share it. And at the end of the message, I'm actually flying. And that's merely by the Holy Spirit. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. God wants us to rely on the Holy Spirit as a way of life throughout our lives, with every event that is going on in our lives. Now, consequently, the believer, being controlled by the Holy Spirit, is equipped to face even humanly unhappy circumstances with victory. The COVID-19 pandemic right now is something that unsettles a lot of people. Well, if you're filled with the Spirit, guess what's going to happen? In verse 19, being controlled by the Holy Spirit, believers can address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual odes, singing and making melody in their heart to the Lord. So in place of sadness or fear in humanly difficult circumstances that is met with indulging in substance abuse, the Holy Spirit equips a believer to face humanly unhappy circumstances in this life with victorious joy and peace. The amazing thing about the Holy Spirit, you don't have to run from reality at all. You can face reality, and you can face it with joy and peace. And this is why the Holy Spirit equips us to sing, and to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Now, being controlled by the Holy Spirit, believers can always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, lest we think that we say, well, I can give thanks when I don't face a lot of trials. Guess what? James chapter 1 tells us, be Count it all joy, or count it pure joy, when you fall into diverse trials. Because what those trials do, God uses those trials to deepen our walk with Him and our character and so forth. From God's perspective, He has a tremendous capacity to use the worst trials we can imagine to produce the greatest character advantages in our hearts and our lives. And guess what? When we get to eternity, all the trials that we have here in this life are gone. But in eternity, the only thing that lasts is what God has done in our hearts in building us up through those trials. So this is why trials are things for which we can be grateful to. No, we're not grateful for the pain of the trials, but we are grateful for what God is doing to us and for us and through us in the trials, what He's teaching us. So in place of complaining about difficult circumstances in life, the Holy Spirit equips a believer to face those circumstances even with thanksgiving. And then in verse 21, being controlled by the Holy Spirit, believers can submit to one another in reverence to Christ. Now, Paul clarified in the context in Ephesians 5:22 to chapter 6, verse 9, what he meant by the submitting there. What he meant was wives submitting to their husbands in Ephesians 5:22, children submitting to their parents, as we're going to see in Ephesians 6:1, slaves submitting to their masters, or as we would apply it in our culture today, employees submitting to their employers in Ephesians 6:5, and doing so in respect to Christ's will, that each submit to his or her God-ordained overseer. So in place of resorting to substance abuse to escape problems in marital, home, or workplace relationships, the Holy Spirit equips us to face those relationships with spiritually victorious attitudes and behaviors. So God wants us, believers, to walk worthy of our high calling in Christ Jesus by not trying to escape humanly unhappy circumstances through indulging in substance abuse, but to rely on the Holy Spirit as a way of life so that He can control our outlook and behavior in causing us to live in joy and peace over sadness or fear, to express thanksgiving in place of complaining, and to relate well to others in even difficult overseer and subordinate roles. So in application, may we walk worthy of our calling before God by not trying to escape hard circumstances through substance abuse, but always rely on the Holy Spirit for victory in functioning well in humanly difficult situations. A number of years ago, the men in our church had a men's retreat, and it was held at a retreat center not far from our church. And the man who was the special speaker at the retreat was a man who was a Christian, a devout Christian, and after he had accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, he still carried over into his Christian life the alcoholism that he had before he was a Christian. And he struggled with alcoholism, even as a Christian, for a number of years. And one day, he was either reading the scriptures or someone had taught him about the need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Instead of being drunk with wine, we're in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So he realized, I need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's my problem. So he made a commitment to the Lord to rely on the Holy Spirit. And he said, when I did, immediately the drive for partaking of the alcoholic beverage went away. Now he said, I'm the first one to admit that I'm still an alcoholic, because if I don't rely on the Holy Spirit, guess what? I can go back very quickly and be controlled by it. But when I rely upon the Holy Spirit, the desire for alcohol goes. Now I heard another man do the same thing, another Christian man that I knew who had been on drugs, alcohol, and had the same thing. In fact, he told us, to this day, I'm actually an alcoholic, but he said, when I rely on the Lord, I have power to abstain from it. This is what we need to do. The alcoholics who are Christians, who understand the filling of the Spirit, understand this probably more clearly than the rest of us who don't have alcohol in our background. But it's so important that we rely on the Holy Spirit. If we do, we can face life. We can face reality and handle it. If we don't, we're in trouble. And this is one of the great needs in the church today. There are a lot of Christians, well-meaning Christians, who are trying to live the Christian life in the power of the sin nature. And of course, you can't do that. The sin nature doesn't have the desire to do that which is good. It doesn't have the power to do it. And this is why there's a lot of frustration in the lives of many Christians. What we need to do is to stop trying to live the Christian life on our own. Relax, rely on God. Let him do the motivation in us. Let him equip us. And then just go ahead and live each moment as a walk of faith. And when we do that, we'll find tremendous blessing and victory.